grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Alrighty, we're back. We're back for Marijuana Media.
Alright.
What's it this week, Chris?
Whew, it's all on. We've got three big stories, huge stories. So, listeners, if you're not already high, get ready.
Get cracking.
That's the sound of some papers. You know it. Have you seen this little...
That is so handy. He's got a hole in his pocket.
It's a built-in papers dispenser.
Built-in
so you're always ready
dispenser.
To go. Always. Anytime. Ask me for a paper, I got one.
Where does one acquire a shirt like that?
Oh, where do you think?
Hemp store.
Of course.
There you go.
Hey, but without any further ado, and I notice that is the phrase du jour seems to be popping up. Everyone
it
says
sure
ado.
Is.
Without further ado.
Without further ado.
It's the thing. So drop it in your conversation today. So starting on Monday, and this was great. This came, Chloe Swarbrick really got this whole story happening. And this was News Hub. Rest in peace. Hopefully not. Police Minister Mark Mitchell backs aerial cannabis eradication, but hasn't read the evidence-based reports.
There you go.
Says it all in the headline.
What was he, too busy at a long lunch?
Well, he didn't explain, actually. He just said, I don't think I needed to have read that report.
No.
What Chloe did is she dug up from this unit. Who would have thought this exists? The evidence-based policing unit.
Oh, wow.
Turns out there is one.
It's real.
And, no, I shouldn't be so, I'm sure they do a lot of, they could well be behind the drop in cannabis arrests, you know, saying where the hell is this policy going? So she dug up this report from them that said there was little empirical evidence available to suggest that crop eradication has a positive impact on the supply and availability of cannabis.
Okay.
And she asked Mark Mitchell in a parliamentary question.
Okay.
You know, what he thought of that, and that's where he said, well, I don't think I needed to have read that. And he's backed police to do whatever they want, really. And the one hand, that's kind of fair enough, you know, don't do too much meddling. But you can give directives, and we see that in all sorts of other areas where they say, this is what the government expects.
Yeah.
And best use of your money, you'd think would be something. Turns out, though, it's not taxpayer funding. It's taken from asset seizures. So that can be anyone from a gang.
Wow.
Or the owner of a trucking company that has caused an employee's death. Or a farmer that's had some weed growing on their farm, had their property taken off them. That gets put into a big slush fund and the cops can apply to that. $900K out of that every year gets put aside for the thing. So it's not a huge amount of hours.
No.
And I think, well, in fact, the police really showed what they think of it because only three districts last year out of all of them applied for that. That pool.
Okay.
And that was, would you believe it, the stereotypical areas. I mean, this is like, how much thought did you put into this, guys? It's Northland, Coromandel and East Cape.
Ah.
Okay. Well, that's, I guess, what your average person on the street would say is where the most cannabis is growing. I don't know. It's probably warehouses in Auckland, though, to be honest.
And that's exactly what it is. There's just no research going into this. You know, they're not even policing it.
That's
particularly
right.
Well.
That is exactly right. Yeah. And what happened to those three areas last year, last summer, was Cyclone Gabrielle.
Yeah.
And in fact, we received reports from all of those areas of people absolutely shocked in the aftermath of those cyclones while their homes and roads and properties were destroyed and people were cut off and services weren't available, all that sort of thing. And they think the sound of the helicopter is help on the way. And it turns out that in the midst of all that, it was the police out looking for cannabis.
They were still checking.
Doing it.
In the middle of that great catastrophe.
In those three areas, which were, aside from Auckland, those are the three areas that got hammered the most. And that's where the cops did the cannabis eradication and the helicopters and the spotter planes.
That is insane.
So we've had reports already. Actually, one Great Barrier earlier this week.
Yep.
Watch out for that if you're over there. And a few around the Waikato. And we've also heard, of course, East Cape and Northland again. So,
Yep. All right, they're out
there. Keep an eye out. Guard your plants, people.
Yeah.
I actually met up with Chloe on just as she finished doing that interview on Monday.
Oh,
I've got to share with you people, it's bloody awesome. to have Chloe still fronting this issue and going hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the leadership contest next week, foregone conclusion, obviously, she's going to be the next Green leader. And she's still up front, you know, putting cannabis law reform into the headlines and keeping the pressure on
keeping
the police and the police minister.
Yeah. No, not all heroes wear capes. She certainly is one.
Right on. Good on you, Chloe.
Good on you.
Right, well, moving right along then.
Yes.
And speaking of government...
meddling.
I don't want to swear. I don't want to swear, but you know, I feel like it.
Government fuckery.
Now, if I was writing the cheesy weed-themed headline, I would say drug driving test set to fail.
Okay.
Or something along those lines. So this is this was actually, I think, on Tuesday, and Simeon Brown announced the new land transport policy, or the draft one, from the government.
Oh, yeah.
And in that transport policy, all the focus was on the road building and the cuts to public transport and things. They also are wanting to set a target for the police to test 50,000 drivers for drugs every year.
Okay.
The exact wording was to enact legislation to roll out roadside oral fluid, drug testing and set targets for police to undertake 50,000 roadside oral fluid tests per year once the provisions come into force.
But weren't we chatting the other week about how inaccurate those tests are?
Yes.
They're, like, disastrously inaccurate.
Yeah, about 20% either way. So this is in Australia, the ones that they were looking at using here. And so 20% of sober straight people were being erroneously
false
accused.
False positives.
And also 20% of high as kite people were not being detected. So, you know, pretty bad either way.
Yeah, it's not what you want.
But, and wind, going back a step further from that, of course, their whole reasoning is these figures from ESR they keep citing, which they claim, Simeon Brown in particular says, makes it even a bigger problem than alcohol, or at least as big. But in fact, ESR's, what they do with these figures, it's a little bit shonky, they include people with any trace of any drug, so any trace. And let's
right.
be, you know, cannabis can hang around for months in your system, way after any kind of effects.
Yeah.
So they're including that. And with alcohol, though, they only include people over the legal limit.
Ridiculous.
And, yeah, and New Zealand has quite a high limit internationally, and impairment is shown to be at quite a lot lower than actually our limit is. So they're underestimating the alcohol and overestimating the drugs. But nevertheless, we still don't want people high on the road, or certainly not impaired.
No.
So, you know, that's in our principles of responsible cannabis use.
If you can't drive, yeah, if you can't drive, maybe don't.
Exactly. So the key is, how do you do it? And like you, so what we've got, so again, we can explain, because so this is the law right now. This is already in effect. It's just they don't have the devices to actually do it. But the law right now, this was passed by everyone apart from the Greens and Te Pāti Māori. So 108 to 12. And they have to use an approved oral fluid test device, and none has been approved because the key thing is it has to show recent use.
Yeah.
And they can't find a device that can actually do that.
Okay.
It will detect, you know, distant past use or not detect it at all.
Okay.
So the alternative to that, and this is what they can do right now, is a roadside sobriety test, also called a... compulsory impairment test, I think, or CIT. And this is the old walk the line and touch the nose and count to 30 seconds. And it's actually pretty hard, to be honest.
It is.
Especially if you're a bit older or have balance issues or something like that. Like, you have to stand on one leg with your eyes closed and count to 30 and tell them when you're at 30 seconds.
I can't even do that.
And I think you have to be plus or minus 1 second.
I can't even do that normally.
Try doing it.
Yeah, actually, if you're listening and you're in a position to try and stand on one leg with your eyes closed, do it and tell us how far you get.
And estimate when 30 seconds has elapsed to within 1 second.
Ooh.
You have to do all of that at the same time.
Jeez.
And then the cop can say you failed, and then it's a blood test. So
okay.
The blood test is what they're going by now. So that's the current law. That's basically what happened.
Okay.
A cop would have to decide, I want you to walk these lines and do these things, and then, I think you failed, and then get a blood test, and then, right?
How, like, quickly do you have to go and get a blood test?
Well, they would do it, like with drink driving. They might have the bus right there.
Oh, they do it on the
Yeah, it's not up to you. It's like you're detained and it happens under force if needed.
Jeez.
Yeah, so more likely, so that's the current case now, and people do get done, you know, if it's obvious or if they've been in an accident, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Low levels, if they find either your blood or oral, they've actually got the same number, and there's no evidence or reasoning as to why they pick the same number for oral fluid and blood.
Okay.
There's one psychoactive in the blood, one isn't psychoactive when it's in your oral saliva.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, one nanogram is your infringement level And okay. Again, well, how they pick one, it's just the lowest number they could go down to. Not based on impairment. But one nanogram gets you a fine and 50 demerits. Three nanogram gets you arrested, off to court, maybe thrown in jail, criminal record, and 75 demerit points. I think all the other things are worse, to be honest. That's at 3 nanograms THC. A regular cannabis consumer, for example, any medical user, will be above 3 nanograms all the time.
To court and to jail.
The next day, when they're not, they haven't used any, the next day, they will be above that 3.
That
and they won't
is
be impaired.
Shocking.
They won't be impaired. And in fact, a study came out this month that showed that exact thing. So if they're keeping track of the science, here's four studies that came out this month. Or sorry, February. So daily consumers, e.g. medical, become tolerant to the psychomotor influencing effects, i.e. they're less impaired, but they retain the medical benefits. So that was interesting. So you actually become, you're not being impaired because you're using it all the time.
Yeah.
Medical cannabis, in another study, was found to have a, quote, negligible impact on driving performance when used as prescribed.
Yeah.
Another one in February, cannabis use not associated with a higher risk of a vehicle accident. And another one showing THC blood levels not associated or not correlated with changes in driving performance. So that's all just in 1 month. You have those studies, and then our government goes, well, actually, let's have some more tests, please.
Let's disregard that. So how long does it stay around in your blood? Do you know?
Certainly, as I say, if you're a regular user, it can basically be there all the time.
Yeah.
But certainly it would be a few days in your blood at that kind of regular level. In your urine, it can be weeks or months.
But in
the blood, it can, you know, it could be up to a week even for a regular consumer. We do have a medical defence in our law, which they don't have in Australia, for example. So if you're using cannabis in accordance with your prescription, your doctor's instructions, then you have a defence to all of that. So it's another reason to go out and bloody get one.
Yes.
Get your prescription and get legal.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, just yesterday alone, I probably sent over 10 people to the clinics just to come into the shops. All day, every day, we're sending people. And these are people that had no idea. They're like, what? Really? I can do this?
I can? Yeah, you can.
Yes, you can.
Listeners, you can.
Yep. So get that. And this, in fact, here's the interesting thing. If you look on the Ministry of Transport, it still exists. This is not Waka Kotahi. Ministry of Transport has a little page on drug testing. And there was a briefing paper that went to Kerry Allen last year and to Ginny Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And it got lost in the election. The police proposed changing this law, so instead of finding a device that actually measures impairment, they will just collect your saliva and send it to a lab.
Okay.
And the presence of any drug, you'll then get tested for all drugs.
Okay.
The presence of any drug, then they go after you, either the fine or the record. So this is what the police want to do. Justice, transport and police officials recommended it. I would say this is what they're talking about in that thing where they say enact legislation to roll out the testing. I'd say they're looking at changing the law in exactly that way to do that.
Right.
So there you go. So it will no longer, they will remove the, basically, it was the requirement for it to measure impairment that has meant they can't do it.
Yeah.
So instead of finding a device that actually works, they're getting rid of the requirement to measure impairment.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely crazy. And they say they're evidence-based, but clearly not.
Yeah, clearly.
And as we said the other day, if people want to try out this app, this is really where, you know, we're in the 21st century. There's an app called Druid. There are other ones out there too. But look up Druid because it's easy to remember and you just get it out of your app store and you can put it on your phone and have a play with it and you can test yourself.
Yeah.
And this is actual evidence-based.
Impairment
testing.
And it uses
the little sensors and that we carry around in our pockets and that's what they should be doing.
Calipers, aren't they? Or something like that.
Something like that.
Moving on to other drugs.
Okay, so
this
here's
is a really interesting one.
Yeah, this was an interesting one. This came out yesterday. Drug use in Aotearoa, released by the New Zealand Drug Foundation. And speaking of which, they're up at the shop right now, up at the hemp store, because it's
testing.
First Thursday. Yeah, so they've got the testing going.
Yeah,
very busy, but not a long queue. But get up there and sort of 10 or 15 minutes and get your stuff tested.
Yeah, go get your drugs tested.
We're actually one of the few countries in the world where you can do it.
It's amazing, and it's a lifesaver, you know.
Mm.
Like, I would hate to think how many deaths we've prevented through that, but it is the truth.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
go
right.
test and your drugs.
Yeah, and you get good information about, you know.
Totally.
You can always do with some good information. Oh. So, speaking of what, in this report, this drew on the latest data from the New Zealand Health Survey, also the wastewater testing. where they test the kind of sewer lines in towns around the country. That can't detect cannabis. It does the other drugs. And then they do the drug trend survey, which we've talked about over the last few weeks. And I did myself this week. Here's your market report, people. In the year last year, MDA and methamphetamine were steady.
Okay.
I'd say yay for the E and not so much for the other. Cocaine use doubled in 5 years. This is shocking. Now, some caveat there. It's off a small base, so A, the figures might be slightly unreliable because you have fewer people in the surveys.
Okay.
When you're only at about 1%. But doubled in 5 years is what that's showing. Certainly word on the street, I would, and when you look at police busts and things, it seems to be a lot out there compared to like none out
there.
That's
crazy.
And it, unlike meth, it seems to have this woohoo reputation just because people haven't been through it, you know?
But, totally.
Talk to anyone who's lived in like Europe or America and they'll have a different
opinion. A very different tale for you.
Cannabis use went up 50% over the last 10 years. So now it's on 14% of it. It's about 600,000 Kiwis using it regularly.
It's
quite like the biggest rise, though. This is interesting. Women went up quite a bit, which is one thing. But among the seniors, the 65s to 74s.
Okay.
10 times increase.
Tenfold. Tenfold. That is insane.
And that's not just explained by the boomers themselves moving into that group, but you know, perhaps it's the availability of medical cannabis.
Well, that's what I think, and the medicinal, you know, benefits, even if it is legal.
They might have a bit of pain or a bit of trouble sleeping, and also a bit less stigma and a bit more willingness to talk about it, maybe.
Yeah.
Could be part of it,
God,
too.
God, boomers! Never thought I'd say that.
I know. And we had Chloe at the beginning and the boomers at the end. What's that? Cheapest weed, everyone would want to know this, down in Nelson and the West Coast, $310 an ounce.
Okay, let's go.
the most expensive was Otago at $365.
Makes sense. You've got the uni market. You can really track them and charge them.
Shocking. Auckland, in the middle, $344 an ounce.
Okay.
I love it. You know, that's about the same price as when I was at uni. So remarkably stable cannabis prices.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
There you go. Well, there you go, everyone. Well, first Thursday tonight, up at
First Thursdays, get involved.
It's all on. Yeah. Not just the hemp store, but all up and down the road. There's heaps of things happening.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's going off.
Well, thank you, Chris. Good, interesting news this week.
Right on.
Yeah.
Cheers, everyone.
Keep it buzzy out there, everyone.
Keep it buzzy.
Do it there.
That was Marijuana Media.
To the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.